church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama and then our feature of Justice and Peace. Today we shall close with our sports roundup. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Tuesday exhorted the faithful to let go and let God by abandoning ourselves into his care. Writing in his Twitter message on Tuesday, the Holy Father said that we need to allow Jesus, the living bread, to heal us of our self-absorption. May he open our hearts to sharing, he prayed, adding, heal us from rigidity and turning in on ourselves and inspire us to follow him wherever he wants to lead us. And on Tuesday, Pope Francis sent a message to the participants at the 5th Global Conference on the Elimination of Child Labour. The conference is taking place in the South African city of Durban. Addressed to the Director General of the International Labour Organization, Guy Ryder, the Holy Father says that while significant progress has been made in eliminating the scourge of child labour from society, this tragedy has been worsened by the impact of the global health crisis and the spread of extreme poverty in many parts of the world. He said that the lack of decent work opportunities for adults and adolescents, migration and humanitarian emergencies in these places has condemned millions of young girls and boys to a life of economic and cultural impoverishment. Sadly, went on the Pope, too many small hands are busy plowing fields, working in mines, traveling great distances to draw water and doing work that prevents them from attending school, to say nothing of the crime of child prostitution, which he said has robbed millions of children of the joy of their youth and their God-given dignity. Since poverty is in fact the chief factor that exposes children to labor exploitation, I am confident, the Holy Father said, that your deliberations will not fail to address the structural causes of global poverty and the scandalous inequality that continues to exist among the members of the human family, the Pope wrote. The Holy Father, in conclusion, thanked the International Labour Organization for organizing and promoting the conference and prayed that the deliberations at the summit will be a pledge of lasting growth and a prosperous future for children throughout the world who dream of seeing their lives flourish. Commit your institutions to rethinking economic, cultural, and social models that put the human person back at the center. The invitation of Pope Francis to university rectors when he received them in a private audience at the Vatican on Monday. The rectors were drawn from the universities around Italy's Lazio region. In his speech to the rectors, the Pope also encouraged them to continue to welcome students and teachers who are victims of war and persecution. Lydia Oken has this report.
Pope Francis stressed the importance of these places of learning in this particular historical moment, saying they are entrusted with the task of great responsibility. He told those gathered that the pandemic years, war in Europe, the global environmental issue, and the growth of inequalities challenge us in an unprecedented and accelerated way. We have to tell ourselves the truth. We are in crisis, said the Pope in off-the-cuff remarks. But he added that being in a crisis can be a good thing because it makes us grow. The Pope underlined that young people call us to our responsibilities, which is why now is the time for a major educational investment. This is why the Global Compact on Education is being developed, a joint working project on a global scale, involving so many stakeholders from major religions to international institutions to individual educational institutions, he said. Pope Francis also mentioned the signing of the document on human brotherhood in Abu Dhabi on the 4th of February 2019, where it was agreed that we care about the integral education that is summed up in knowing oneself, one's brother, creation, and the transcendent. Thus, in concrete terms, is this horizon of peace, which we rightly claim today and for which we pray intensely, said the Pope.
Questo in concreto E l'orizzonte della pace che oggi giustamente reclamiamo e per cui preghiamo intensamente.
He emphasized that certainly there is much to be done to ensure technological and scientific development, but also to guarantee human sustainability. Great changes demand that we rethink our economic, cultural and social models to recover the central value of the human person, he said. In this regard, Pope Francis underscored that the service that the university can provide is truly important and offers an environment to rethink and adapt our models of development, bringing together the best intellectual and moral energies. He called on universities to continue to reach out and welcome students, researchers and teachers who are victims of persecution, war and discrimination in various countries of the world. In conclusion, Pope Francis recalled the Jubilee of 2025, which has as its motto Pilgrims of Hope. The Pope expressed his hope that this event would offer the Church and universities a chance to work together towards shared goals of life, goodness and fraternity.
The Bishop of the Diocese of Kikwit in the Democratic Republic of Congo says that the people of his country are very enthusiastic about the forthcoming apostolic visit of the Holy Father to the Democratic Republic of Congo. In a special chat with the Catholic charity Aid to the Church in Need, Bishop Timothy Bodika Mansiai disclosed the fact that Catholics in the Democratic Republic of Congo are actually busy preparing for the papal visit that is coming 30 years since the second visit of Pope John Paul II to the country. This is Saint Peter that is coming to us, and he is coming as a pastor to confirm us in the faith, and we feel blessed to have him visit us, the Kikwit bishop said. Monsignor Mansiai also mentioned the fact that although the Democratic Republic of Congo is a vast nation that is very rich in natural resources, it is a country with a myriad of problems and suffering. But he was quick to mention the fact that in spite of these problems that afflict the nation, the Congolese Church has something to offer to the Universal Church, and this is the fact that there has been a lot of work done to give value to the laity and putting them at the center of the life of the Church. Bishop Mansiai is the president of the Episcopal Commission for the Laity, and he told the Aid to the Church in Need that he will proudly show the Pope the visible presence of the lay people in the Church in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Guinea-Bissau's president has dissolved the country's parliament, accusing MPs of corruption, among other issues. In a statement Monday, Umaro Sissoko Embalo said the National People's Assembly has defended and protected, under the guise of parliamentary immunity, deputies heavily indicted for crimes of corruption, harmful administration and embezzlement. The small West African country has seen frequent political turmoil with 10 coups or attempted coups since it gained independence from Portugal in 1974. In February, Mr. Embalo survived the latest failed coup and assassination attempt. Legislative elections will be held on the 18th of December this year, the statement said. Ethiopia and the World Bank have signed an agreement for a grant of $300 million to assist reconstruction and recovery in conflict-hit areas of the Horn of Africa nation, the country's finance ministry said on Monday. Areas in Amhara, Afar, Tigray, and the regions of Oromia and Benishagul Gumuz are targeted to receive the funds, the ministry said. It added that the government will sign up with third-party organizations to execute the project in high-conflict areas. Fighting that erupted in the northern Tigray region in November 2020 and spilled over into neighboring Afar and Amhara last year has eased since a unilateral ceasefire by the federal government in March. The violence in Oromia and Benishagul Gumuz, home to several ethnic groups, is separate from the war in Tigray. The finance ministry said the funds will be used to finance activities designed to support basic services such as education, health, water supply, and a special effort to support survivors of gender-based violence in conflict-hit areas. The military junta in Mali says it foiled an attempted coup last week led by Western-backed soldiers. The alleged thwarted coup took place on the night between the 11th and 12th of May, the junta said in a statement read out on state television late on Monday. The statement did not give details of the identity and whereabouts of the alleged coup plotters, but said they will be handed over to justice. The announcement was the latest turmoil to unfold in Mali, where Colonel Assimi Goïta led coups in 2020 and 2021 before becoming president of the West African nation. The news release did not name the country it was accusing. However, relations with former colonizer France have deteriorated significantly under Mr. Goïta's rule, prompting the French military to begin a withdrawal of its forces that had spent 9 years fighting Islamic extremists. Zimbabwe on Tuesday lifted its ban on bank lending more than a week after the government froze loans in a move it said was meant to stop speculation against a rapidly devaluing local currency. A statement by the central bank said organizations being probed for abusing loan facilities will not be allowed to borrow from banks. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Justice and Peace. The international community marked the International Day of Living Together in Peace on Monday, May 16th. The day is marked every year to signify unity in differences and diversity, and to create awareness about the need and importance of listening, recognizing, respecting, and appreciating others, as well as living in peace and unity. The day has its background in the destruction and suffering caused by the Second World War. Since then, the international community, through its international agencies such as the United Nations, has strived to work towards saving future generations from the death and destruction of war by putting in place mechanisms and institutions that ensure peace in the world and that work for the eradication of injustices that disrupt peace, for example, inequalities based on color, race, sex, birth status, and disability, and the use of force and war to achieve objectives. Professor Tijani Muhammad Bande is the former president of the United Nations General Assembly.
In 2017, the United Nations declared 16 May the International Day of Living Together in Peace to promote peace, tolerance, inclusion, understanding, and solidarity across the world. Each year on this day, we reaffirm our commitment to international cooperation as our approach to solving challenges of an economic, social, cultural, or humanitarian character and in promoting and encouraging respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms for all. The challenges we are facing today are huge. They demand international solidarity. We must act urgently and collectively to build a future for all of us where we can live together in peace.
This year's International Day for Living Together in Peace is marked at a time when war is raging in Ukraine following the Russian invasion of the country on 24th February. The unprovoked war has killed thousands of people, both civilians and soldiers on both sides, and displaced about 6 million Ukrainians. Ezioma Bujie is the founder of Team 54 Project International, an organization that promotes awareness about the climate crisis in the world and to build public commitment at all levels to facilitate effective protection, conservation, sustainable development, and the better use of the Earth's resources for the good of mankind. He says solidarity is an important element of peace building.
Everyone wants peace. War in conflict that Russia and Ukraine are having was not a war the people in Ukraine, the woman in the maternity, wanted. On her own, she wants peace. But when external forces come, we start individually. But we should not take for granted what happened externally. We need to intentionally have rules, regulations that hold people that try to distort the peace accountable. External factors will be there, but it is how we pull together the diverse people together to say, Remember our oath of office. Remember our allegiance to humanity. Remember what we've said, that whenever there's conflict, we must have solidarity. We must understand that there's need for us to stay together and demand peace. Peace that will permeate across board. Peace that will give now the room for the environment for us to move forward. Holding people accountable is important. If you don't, it will distort the peace of the ordinary person.
One of the ways for living together in peace is to promote reconciliation and unity. Reconciliation and unity can be attained if countries work with communities and leaders to foster feelings of forgiveness and compassion.
I would like to stress that the key thing is for us to understand that mutual respect is that framework that brings everything together, the diversity, people respecting the way people will exist, because people exist in their time and space. People exist based on their culture. People exist based on what they love. People exist based on what you freely give them to do. And then what we should be doing is, how do we create that framework for us to now bring everybody with different views? People live in their own space at their own time, and they all mature together. And that thing can best be achieved through mutual respect.
God created this world in his free will and gave it to human beings to live in it. It was in God's plan that we should live together in peace. Unfortunately, human selfishness has impeded this plan. According to Mr. Ezioma, life is more meaningful if we live it together. When we have differences among ourselves or between communities, we should resolve them together without resorting to conflict or war, and by bringing everybody on board.
All of us together, we make more sense as human. You have to involve every other person together. Before you say you're in the world, you say you are a national person. You have to involve every other person, whether you share their views or not. Differences will be there. And it will be very wrong for any of us to say those differences do not exist. They do. There's a difference between a lion and an elephant. What is key is recognize that this difference only adds value to you. We need to understand that these differences can bring about more economic, more rich perspective. If you want to solve complex problems in the world, you need the brains of everyone. We need the Indians and their knowledge. We need the Chinese and their knowledge. We need the Africans and their knowledge. We need the Native Americans and their knowledge. When you bring knowledges from diverse groups of people, when you bring knowledges from their religious beliefs, from their culture, their way of life, we're all together. It is key we understand that a shared belief is important. It's also key that we also start to build more policies and more structures that hold leaders responsible, while ourselves begin to hold our own selves accountable.
The world we live in today is full of tensions, acts of hatred, rejection of others, and discrimination. Therefore, the pursuit of peace and the will to live together harmoniously is more crucial than ever.
How do we create that needed peace? Bringing people together is the first step, and then allowing them to stay together is another good step. And one way we can do that is we can use education. Education is universal. Whether people go to the school or not is a different thing. But people know that there's a framework where you can teach people things, and then they can transition to either apply those processes or to add to existing knowledge. Another thing that I think we can do that can help us bring peace is through sports. Every single nation in the world has a team in different levels. Sometimes we have people that go off the cuff during sporting events, but we know that there are rules. Misbehave, your stadiums will be banned, and you will not be able to watch the things you love. The point I'm making is this: if we want to find a solution on bringing everyone together, world leaders need to look at sports, need to look at education, need to look at culture. So there are intercultural things that we can do to bring people together. World Cup has been going on for so many years that people are always looking forward to 4 years of football, or people are looking forward to 1 year of baseball, or people are looking forward to cricket finals in India, in Pakistan. These are ways we can bring people together. We have to constantly be bringing cultures together and showing them over and over again for a long period of time.
That was Ezioma Bujie, the founder of Team 54 Project International, an organization that promotes awareness about the climate crisis in the world. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been John Baptist Tumusime.
This is a sports roundup, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. Kenya's Irene Cheptai and Nicholas Kimeli ran course records of 30 minutes and 35 seconds and 27 minutes and 38 seconds, respectively, at the Tata Consultant Services World 10-kilometer Bangalore 2022 on Sunday. This World Athletics Elite Label Road Race saw Cheptai beat multiple world champion Hellen Obiri and took 44 seconds off the women's course record, which had stood to the late Agnes Tirop at 31 minutes and 19 seconds since 2018. After a super fast opening 2 kilometers of 3 minutes and 2 seconds and 3 minutes and 4 seconds, the race was soon down to just three women at the front. Cheptai, two-time world 5,000-meter champion Hellen Obiri and fellow Kenyan Joyce Tele. But with just 250 meters to go, Cheptai darted past Obiri and was never heard before crossing the line in a personal best of 30 minutes and 35 seconds. Her first time inside 31 minutes, Obiri eased off once she knew the race was lost, but still came home in an outstanding 30 minutes and 44 seconds, also inside Tirop's former course record, while Tele was a distant third in 31 minutes and 47 seconds to complete an all-Kenyan podium. The men's race unfolded in a very different fashion to the women's, with Kimeli, who was fourth in the Olympic 5,000 meters final last year, taking the lead with a kilometer to go. He pulled away from Ethiopia's world under 20 10,000 meter champion Tadesse Woku to reduce the men's course record by 6 seconds from the previous mark set by his compatriot Geoffrey Kamworor in 2014. Kimeli crossed the line in 27 minutes and 38 seconds, with Woku also inside the old record with 27 minutes and 43 seconds, while the Kenyan pre-race favorite and former world half-marathon record holder Kibuwot Kandie came through for third in 27 minutes and 57 seconds. Organizers of the 17th edition of the Kigali International Peace Marathon are saying that registration for local and foreign athletes is still open. All interested parties need to register through the Rwanda Athletics Federation website at www.raf.rw in either the full marathon 42.196 kilometers or the half marathon of 21.098 kilometers categories. The May 29th annual race will attract athletes from different countries from all over the globe. So far, 215 athletes have registered in the half marathon, while 65 have registered for the full marathon, and 79 registered to participate in the Run for Peace. Nigeria has withdrawn from the Global Basketball Championship for 2 years. The decision was announced by Nigeria's Minister of Youth and Sports and approved by President Muhammadu Buhari. A recent letter from the ministry said the withdrawal was because of the unending drama that have plagued and nearly crippled basketball in the West African country. The Nigerian Basketball Federation is now to be dissolved and an interim committee appointed to oversee the management of the game in the country. Some sources within the sporting arrangement says that the decision was taken to avert an agreement by both Nigeria's men's and women's teams to stage a protest at international tournaments, and ministry officials are said to be disappointed about the fact that players have chosen to support one faction in the federation's ongoing leadership crisis. Under the rules of the International Basketball Federation, which is the governing board of basketball, interference by government into the running of national teams and the sport is strictly forbidden. The stance by the government could lead to the world governing body banning Nigeria from global basketball, and this would mean their national sides, club teams and officials be excluded from all international competitions and meetings. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, this week confirmed the fact that Mauritius has won the case it filed against Sao Tome and Principe. The matter concerns their 2023 Africa Cup of Nations preliminary qualifying fixture. Mauritius had filed a protest against Sao Tome and Principe, who won their preliminary qualifying fixture, insisting that one Sao Tome player had tested positive for COVID-19. Analysts said the matter became kind of interesting because the player at the center of the controversy is the one that scored the only goal of the match. Victory for Mauritius at the Confederation of African Football Disciplinary Committee means they now join Nigeria, Sierra Leone and Guinea-Bissau in Group A of the six-match phase that ends in March next year. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyan Tagodifri Kampamba. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.